very warm welcome to, especially to visitors with us this morning, but also a greeting from, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we will be joined together in Him this morning. The notices are in print. I think perhaps the only one that I, well, no, there are two really, I guess, that I should emphasize. The next two Sundays, we do hope to be able to have our evening service here rather than up in the school. It gives the caretaker freedom up there for the holiday time, but we also do hope to have the key ourselves if we can make use of this place. I also want to remind the children that through this past year there's been a project raising funds for India, and they will need to be brought in by next Sunday, if at all possible. Anything that you have collected, do bring it in, because they will need to be sent to the central gathering point before the end of the year. In our worship of God, it is good for us to sing His praises. It's not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory, because of Your mercy, because of Your truth. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. Let us praise Him with Psalm 33. Psalm 33, turn to page 245. And we sing the verses marked 1 to 8. That's seven stanzas. Psalm 33, the verses marked 1 through to 8. Ye righteous, in the Lord rejoice. It comely is and right that upright men with thankful voice should praise the Lord of might. And as we ought to know, why else should we rejoice but that we have righteousness through Christ our Lord? It is God's gift. It is in God, therefore, that we should rejoice, and to Him that we should give thanks. Let us sing then Psalm 33, verses 1 through to 8, standing to sing and remaining standing for prayer afterwards.
Ye righteous in the Lord rejoice, in coming in
Right.
let us pray together. Almighty One, majestic, holy, righteous, loving and giving. It is good to speak of you, O Lord, and to know that we may speak with you if we come in righteousness. We pray, O Lord, that you would work in us a good work, that we will see you, even and perhaps especially in the light of all that we deal with daily. And that seeing you, we will indeed rejoice in you. That we will rejoice in you and not merely in the gifts of your goodness and grace towards us. And also, Lord, that we would cultivate thankfulness as our characteristic. That we will be aware, even reminded by these words we have sung, of our complete indebtedness to our God. That even the righteousness that might be offered unto you can only be in Christ Jesus your Son. So, O Lord, we would offer rejoicing praise and we would offer thanks today. We do pray that our time together will be suitable worship from our very inner beings, not simply in form. We pray too that as we worship, you would work to draw us to a closer walk with you in Christ Jesus. That he would be even an obsession for each one of us. That we will know nothing so great, nothing so desirable as walking with him. That this would be an enabling for service, for works of ministry that you desire from your church, your people. Ministry unto the name of Christ, even inasmuch as we may do it to the least and to another. Even to those who remain enemies of Christ, to those who remain dead in sin, those around us, where we were and could so easily still be, except by the grace of God. And so, Lord, do bless us, we pray, as we're gathered here, that we would be mindful of these things. And in all things indeed to give thanks. We pray that you would grant forgiveness where we have sinned against you, that you would grant protection from evil, that you would grant your salvation, that we will rejoice and lift up the name of Christ, for in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let us turn to the reading and the hearing of God's law this morning. As God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, he spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of God. May he grant his blessing also upon it. And may we respond, singing to his praise in Psalm 62. Psalm 62 on page 80. As we sing from verse 5 through to the end of the psalm on that page. This very God who set such high standards, it is to him that we go to find rest, in him alone. Find rest, my soul, in God alone. In him my hope is ever sure, my safety, fortress, sheltering rock. In him alone I am secure. My honor and salvation rest on God. And so through to the end of the psalm, Psalm 62, verses 5 to 12, again standing to sing.
My Savior, come, pray.
children, you children who can read, you will see a couple of questions listed under children's topic. The kind of thing that I have in mind there when I'm asking, are you ready, is if you're going somewhere that you've never been before, or you're having to do something that you've never done before. And the question is, are you ready for it? And you might say, yes, I'm ready for it. And then I would say, but are you sure you're ready for it? And you might say, no, I'm not quite so sure because I've not done it before. You're kind of ready. Perhaps you've been told all about it. Maybe it's a theme park that you're going to visit and some friend has been there and they're telling you all about it. And you say, yeah, I'm ready to go there. Or maybe you've seen a film about it. Maybe it's been on Blue Peter or something like that. And you've got some information about it and you think, yeah, I'm ready for that. Well, even then, if you've never done it before, I just want to tell you about two things that you need to have with you to make sure that you'll get through that situation wherever you go, whatever you do. Two things. The first one is, when you go there, you think you're ready, and something happens that you don't know how to handle, the first thing you need is know where to go for help. Perhaps if somebody comes in here for the first time, or if this is the first time we met, I would need to stand there and I would need to say, in case of fire, there's an exit there, there's one there, two on the side there. I would need to tell you where to go to be safe, where to go for help. And that's usually mum and dad's instruction to you when you go out somewhere on your own, isn't it? They say, now, if something goes wrong, there's the phone number, you call me, or you go to so-and-so, and they will help you. So the first thing you need is where to go if you need help. You need to know that, because that will help you to make sure that you can cope with any situation. But the other thing that you need, if you're going into something quite new, to make sure that you're ready for it, is that you need to be ready for change. If something happens that you're not expecting, you need to be ready to change. And that usually starts in your mind, in your head, the way that you think about things. Grown-ups would call it adjusting, changing what you're doing. Because you say, I'm ready to go there, but it might not be quite what you expect. It might be different. For example, some people say, well, I'm going, but I'm very scared, trying to be ready for the worst. And then they go and they do it and they really enjoy it. Mums and dads can think of times like that, can't you? But your way of thinking has changed. And I think they're the two main things that you need when you're going into something that's quite new. You need to know where to go to find help. You also need to be able to change the way that you think about things. What about tomorrow? Are you ready for tomorrow? You might think you are. Maybe you are in some way. You're planned and so on. That's fine. But God might have other plans. Do you have these two things ready? Where do you go for help with something that's completely unexpected? Maybe something difficult. And you can turn to God. Turn to Jesus. But you also need sometimes to be ready to change the way that you're thinking. Because don't God's plans come first? You need to go along with those things. And I want to talk some more about that this morning as well, especially with Christmas coming. Let's turn to read two parts in the Gospels. First in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Just going to take our reading from verse 25 through to verse 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. First, let's read from verse 22 because it explains why Jesus is in Jerusalem. chapter 2, verse 22. Now, when the days of Pharaoh, that's Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So far in this portion of God's word, but would you also turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Reading at the beginning of the chapter down to verse 12. Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their country another way. Just so far, again, our reading in God's word. That the praise would be to him, may blessing also rest on us. Let us indeed return praise to God, turning to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, page 100. take it up with verse 6. I'm going to just read the first three stanzas quickly, and then we will sing from verse 6 down to verse 14. Psalm 77, I cried aloud to God for help. I prayed that God would hear. When I was plunged in deep distress, I sought the Lord in prayer. At night I stretched untiring hands. Relief my soul refused. Remembering you, O God, I groaned with longing as I mused. In my distress I could not speak. From sleep you kept my eye. I thought about the former days, the years which have gone by. And then we take it up from verse 6. Throughout the watches of the night my songs I call to mind. I pondered deeply while my heart an answer tried to find. And then comes his question and also his answer. Down to verse 12, I'll meditate on all your acts, your mighty deeds I'll show. Psalm 77, verses 6, sorry, through to 14. That's six stanzas. We'll stand to sing.
Throughout the watches of the night, my songs I call to mind. I ponder deeply while my heart an answer tries to find. Forever will the Lord be just, and ever show his grace. And he with all his steadfast love and strength of his days. For all time has his throng is filled, his world no longer finds. As he in his grace practices
chapter 2. Simeon, we read of him in verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. If I was to ask, who had a birthday this year? The only two people I know of our normal congregation who haven't yet had one are not here this morning. So that most of us, if I asked, have you had a birthday this year, you would put up your hand. and you would be wrong. Because you haven't had a birthday this year, you've had an anniversary of your birthday. To be pedantic and very particular. We talk about Christmas, getting ready for Christmas. But in a sense, it is really the anniversary of Christmas. And even then, it's very imprecise. It's an anniversary to remember the birth of the Christ, that is, Jesus. When we go about it, getting ready for Christmas, one day next week, there's a great deal of doing, or maybe done, concerning presents and decorations, cards, food, family. But I ask you a question this morning. I believe God's word asks us the question, are you ready for Christmas? With these things going on, you and I cannot afford to pass up an opportunity to stop and to look and to listen, and then to move accordingly. But we do deal with Christmas. But to realize that it is much bigger and much more important than any decorations, even the very best. That we deal with presents. That we deal with what happens next week, Sunday or Christmas. It's a debate in many places. So I'm saying today, let us get ready for Christmas. What is Christmas about? It's about Christ, God's Christ, entering this world, human experience, for vitally important reasons. Are you ready for Christmas? I would ask, looking at Scripture first, was anyone ready for Christmas then? Roughly 2,000 years ago. But that has to come to you and to me as well. Are you really ready for Christmas now? Was anyone ready for Christmas then? In those days, around 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born. These stories that are really rather well known to many people, not just within the church, at this stage of year. Was anyone ready for Christmas then? Whom do we read of? I've taken two short parts dealing with certain characters. Around them, of course, we have Mary and Joseph. How ready were they? We do find that they were both willing to accept the angel's message, God speaking to them, telling them this is what is going to happen in a remarkable way. They were both willing to accept the consequences of it, potentially very serious stigma for one thing. But how clearly did they understand? We read in one place there when Simeon spoke of him, Joseph and the mother of Jesus marveled at those things that were spoken of him. They didn't fully understand. One of the wonderful parts of this whole story, there was one place where I think it was the shepherds spoke. And it tells us that Mary kept all these things and pondered them, thought them over in her heart. I think she was still trying to work out an awful lot of things concerning Jesus. We can't say for sure how much they understood. We do know, the rest of the evidence is that they took a long time still trying to sort through certain things and to grasp what it was about him. Another famous character in the story, who really doesn't appear, is the innkeeper. What happened in his stable that he gave to this young family? What happened there in that stable was at the very center of history. Everything in history spins around what happened in his stable. Couldn't he have at least organized his best bedroom for them? He hadn't a clue that this was going to happen now. He wasn't ready. And he was probably typical of many. Yes, they had Old Testament scripture. They knew these things, that something was going to happen, but they weren't ready for it when it happened in God's way. And so to the children, one of the key things that we need to do to be ready for the unknown is to be ready to change our thinking. And how many did that? There were the shepherds. They were very ready to hear what the angels had to say and to respond. It was indeed a remarkable message, not just through a man. It's suggested sometimes that maybe some did stay with the sheep, but even them, the ones who were watching the sheep, heard the angels and went to worship. It was big enough for them. They did change to some degree. Then there was King Herod. We read of him. It seems to me that he was rather startled by the whole news. And he was not willing to accept a change to the present order. I stopped before we read the part where he sent out his soldiers to make sure that this threat to his kingdom would not survive. But more than that, he turned to his own advisors, his own wise men. Who were they? They were the chief priests and the scribes. And they spoke of the one that was born to be king. They knew the scriptures concerning him. They knew where he should be. But why did they not trail along behind the wise men from the east if this was God's chosen Christ and Messiah come amongst them? They stayed comfortably in Jerusalem. They were not ready to go with what God revealed in a remarkable way. They were not really ready. Though they knew all the facts. I'm just taking a glimpse at some. They were not ready. And they remained unready throughout his life. I just mentioned specifically the chief priests and the scribes. And you've been with me for a number of weeks. You've been hearing of them appearing again and again in discussion and trying to bring Jesus down in his mature years. The very same group were unwilling to change. They rejected him out of hand. They never accepted that this was the Christ because they knew the Christ was born in Bethlehem. They didn't know that this was the one born there. They didn't accept that the Christ had been born there in their own lifetime. They were unready then. And therefore the outcome had to be the cross, as far as they were concerned, because that's where this birth does lead. There were some who were not ready. There were some who were ready. Another character who appears is Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. She was going to have a child too. The unborn child, John, responded when Mary came to visit by the Spirit working in him. In her own womb, he moved in response to the appearance of the Christ. And in due course, it was this John who was to prepare, in other words, to make ready the way for this Lord, make that way ready into the hearts of the people. And then there was Simeon and Anna. Simeon, in Luke chapter 2, 25, tells us that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was alert for the coming of the Lord's consolation. The Lord to console, to deliver, to save his people. He was waiting for it. He was ready. He was alert for it. In whatever form it would come. And there was Anna, who appeared, perhaps having heard what Simeon had to say. And she spoke to those who looked for redemption. There were people who were looking for redemption, and she took and she said, this is the one, this is the redemption of the Lord for Israel. But you see what makes them different, what marks them out. They were both in the Spirit. It tells us several times regarding Simeon. And we can understand the same concerning Anna, because she served the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day. And she responded instantly when she saw the Christ as she came to him. She knew he was the redemption in Jerusalem. Both in the Spirit. And that reminds us that this is the only way to be truly ready for Christmas. The coming of God's salvation into and amongst men, to save man out of his sin. The coming of God's salvation in the person of Jesus, even that baby. The Son of God, the Christ. Never before, never since. It was the angels who praised God. It was a truly awesome event when the Christ was born, when God sent his deliverer into and amongst men. So what do we do? What did they do? We don't read of the wise men again. I believe they truly did worship. We don't read of the shepherds again. I believe they did worship and praise God. But to some extent they came, they looked at the baby, and they passed on. John, on the other hand, spoke of this one, having recognized him from the moment they were in their mother's respective wombs. And it was John who came through as an adult, and he prepared the way of the Lord. He prepared the way and said, that is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the readiness of God's servant, the one who was led by the Spirit. He gave his life over to preparing the way into the hearts of others as well. There were some who were ready for this Christmas. Then. But with that in mind, you and I need to answer the question, are you really ready for Christmas now? And perhaps you understand now, when I say that, I am asking about the Christ. One that God has appointed, who was born on that day for all of history. The only one capable of bringing righteousness to men. That's why we sang that psalm at the beginning, to remind us of that. There is this one person with the power of Almighty God, Creator and Lord. Yes, a baby. Paul writes in Philippians, and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the way the Son of God thought. How did he think? He was in the form of God. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. Who has no reputation in this world? A baby. No reputation. Hasn't had time to build a reputation. Made himself of no reputation. The least. Taking the form of a bondservant. Becoming in the likeness of men. That's what this is about. The very Son of God coming down amongst us. That's what the Christ is about. That's what the Christmas is about. The birth of Jesus. It's the coming of God to deliver men. To transform the world. There are times when you might turn to someone and you say, why are you going that way? And they will say, it's the only way to get to such and such. We read of the baby. Why did God do it this way? Why did he give us this baby? Why did he give us that, if you like, Christmas? He gave us a baby who would become a man, in order to become a man, and an obedient man. He was also to be the teacher, a great teacher. But a man who was also to die, and a death of that was under curse. But out of that death, that he should also rise again and ascend into heaven. The whole point of his infancy and his babyhood was in order to live that sinless life, to give that substitutionary death, to give a triumphant resurrection and ascension. That's the whole point. That's where it's going to. That's what he came into this world to do. If you have a baby Jesus, then you have a God-man now sitting and reigning on God's throne in heaven. The whole point of his coming as a baby was to be able to say, "Here, be saved." When you think of Christmas, you must start to think of that if you haven't already. And I venture that we talk about presents as a sign of giving and sharing. I don't know if we really think of all that that means. I'll take you to Simeon for a minute. And Anna. What did he say when he saw this Christ child? He said to God, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." He lived and he held on living. He held on the whole purpose in his life, and once it was fulfilled, he had no need to live any longer. The whole purpose was to see Christ. The angels, what did they give themselves over to do? But to praise God for Jesus. I look at these and I say to myself, what is all this other stuff for? We live in it, in the middle of it, don't we? We have families who want it. It makes it tough. But friends, I've been driving at this week after week. How big is Jesus in your life and mine? Are you ready for Christmas? I don't want to spoil your enjoyment of these things. But what I am saying is go beyond. Go beyond. Something bigger and better by a long way. Set your hearts on that. I know some, I suspect I've done it myself. You may know some, you may have done it yourself. You may have been, had the opportunity to go to do something very positive, enjoyable, worthwhile, but can't seem to enjoy it. And it's only afterwards that I've discovered that all the time that this was going on, as they were trying to do various things, all the time, what they really wanted to do was to be sitting at home watching Rugby International. Or something equivalent. There was something that for them was bigger and better, and they couldn't enjoy what was, in its own way, good. How often do we think about God like that, and his Jesus and his Christ? With all of these wonderful celebrations, I enjoy a good Christmas dinner as much as anybody. With all of those, what about our mind? Is it actually set on something bigger and better? Writing to the Colossians, Paul said to them, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And if you profess the name of Christ today, that belongs to you. That's spoken to you, as it is to me. But where is our mind set? Writing to Titus, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He is describing this baby Jesus, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And it was harder for them than it is for us today. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Paul puts it better than I do. Because I remind you what Christmas means. Jesus was born, and he lived in order to die, in order to rise and to ascend. This is something I haven't said this morning, but all that is in order to come again. The prophet Malachi says, who can endure the day of his coming? That speaks of majesty, power. Goes on to speak, who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will purge. That's not what he did then. The prophet is looking further ahead. But that is something that is guaranteed because Christmas happened. Because this baby was born. It's guaranteed that he will come as a purifying fire. That's what Paul was concerned about when he wrote to Titus. Because of what God has done, that should make a difference to my life. That's what being ready for Christmas is about. To be saved out of those things for something higher, something greater, something wonderful. To be rejoiced in even today. I didn't think I would say this, but make Christmas a big thing. Get through all these other things around it. Let's reclaim it. To remember the birth of our Lord in order that we might have salvation and be ready, not just for that first coming of the Christ, but for the second and final coming. Are you ready for Christmas? Friends, let us get ready for Christmas. May God bless his word. Let us pray together. The Lord, we do ask for your blessing upon your word, and that the things we do here this morning will not be of us, but of Christ Jesus. That we will be stirred to a passion for him, for his honor as we bear his name. We ask, Lord, for our own ministry as individuals, wherever we are, as members of this body. We ask for various other ministries, as there are many around who do in these days have opportunities to penetrate through the habits to the realities concerning Christ. We commend to you the various congregations of our denomination and those associated with us, giving thanks as we do so for your gift of the ministry of intercession, giving thanks that so many intercede also for us. We do pray, O Lord, in every such ministry, especially where there are difficulties, when other things can be allowed to take over from the main purpose, that you would restore us, that our minds will indeed be set upon you. We would also take opportunity, Lord, to commend to you the various mission folk connected with our church, those overseas especially, because of the distance that they will find with their families, which can often be felt most acutely at this time of year. We would remember especially the Wilsons, so recently gone to South Africa for their first Christmas and New Year out there. We pray that you would provide graciously for them and enable others, including ourselves, to minister and serve them in their time of need. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us as we go about our daily walk, that you would enable us, that you would cause us to ensure our own standing before you, and thereby to bear witness as well. Please strengthen to persevere in that too. That we would take care even in the smallest things, that there would be value in our service of them, even in the least note in our voice, even in the smallest look on our face, that these things too would be in service to them, and so to your name and your glory. We commend to you, Lord, each one connected with us and some who are absent this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over them, grant them safety and refreshment, especially for those who may be traveling. We ask for those who are unwell, whether in body or in spirit. And as we pray for your healing, we pray for patient spirit too, but ask also that you would work in us a readiness ourselves to serve them wherever possible. And so, Lord, to part us now for a time with your blessing, grant especially the application of your word to our hearts, that we will indeed be stirred to do all things in Christ, asking all things now in him, for his glory, and for the praise of your holy name. Amen. So our closing praise is in Psalm 143. Psalm 143, page 187. We'll sing those verses on that page of four stanzas, verses marked 1 through to 8. Psalm 143, O hear my prayer, Lord, my cry for mercy heed. In truth and righteousness draw near to meet my needs. And do not judge me in your sight, for in your presence none is right. Down to verse 8, let mourning bring your love anew, for I have put my trust in you. The actual verse 8 does go on over the page, but we will stop on page 187. Just four stanzas. To the praise of God, let's stand to sing and remain standing for the blessing afterwards.
Oh, hear my prayer, Lord, my cry for mercy, in truth and righteousness, draw near to me, my need, and do not judge me in your sight, for in your presence.
the Lord grant his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.